You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The refugee crisis has been a matter of worldwide concern as it has worsened over the past 15 years. A documentary short called 4.1 Miles follows a Coast Guard captain in Lesbos, Greece, as he performs dramatic and dangerous rescue missions of refugees adrift in the Aegean Sea, pulling family after family and child after child from the turbulent waters. It's already received the International Documentary Association David L. Wolper Student Documentary Award, the Documentary Gold Medal in the 2016 Student Academy Awards, and a 2016 Peabody Award. It was also nominated this year for an Academy Award for Best Documentary Short Subject. And at 9 p.m. tonight, it will open the 30th season of the PBS POV documentary series. It is with great pleasure now that I welcome Daphne Matsuyaraki, who produced, directed, and edited the film, to our show. Hello.
Thank you so much for having me.
Did you make this as a student film?
I did make it as a student film. It was my thesis film for the UC Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism, the documentary program there. Yes, and it turned out to be something more than a student film.
You were born and raised in Athens. Did you return to Greece to make a film about the refugee crisis?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Athens, but I've lived in California for the past 5 years. And it was in my second year of grad school when the refugee crisis was peaking, and I was here in the States. I was reading, watching everything that was happening. Greece was in the epicenter of it all, of course. And being Greek, I felt the urge to keep watching everything that was happening. And it was interesting how, even though I am from Greece, I really felt very distanced and removed by watching the news. So this was kind of what triggered me to wanting to make a film about this, a different film.
Was Lesbos a good place to start because it's the closest of the Greek islands to the Turkish coast?
Yeah, so Lesbos is just 4.1 miles away from the Turkish coast. And it's just one of the islands that had been receiving the majority of the refugee wave the winter of 2015 and 2016. However, it was not just the only island that has been amid this crisis. I chose Lesbos because it seemed at the time that it was receiving a constant flow of refugees of about 4,000 people a day at the time. And they had the biggest Coast Guard response, which is they just had 4 Coast Guard boats, very small Coast Guard boats. The force seemed to be bigger than the other islands in a way, and it was more approachable for me to get access to them being here and trying to produce it from here.
Was immigration a social and political issue in Greece when you were growing up?
Not at all. It's very interesting. I grew up in the 90s, and I remember it was a very, very new thing for immigrants to come to Greece in the 90s from Albania. It was something very new for Greeks in the sense that Greece has been, in a way, a very homogeneous society for a very long time. On the other hand, immigration has been in the life of Greeks in a different way, because Greeks have been immigrants and refugees themselves in many instances. For example, in 1922, a huge amount of Greek population migrated from the same place that Syrian refugees are kind of coming from, so from the western coast of Turkey, as this coast was populated by Greeks. up until then, there was a big massacre, and people were pushed out. So there was a big wave, and a lot of families, Greek families, come from Asia Minor, which is this coast of Turkey. Greeks migrated and became refugees after the Second World War. It's something that Greeks know and are familiar with, but Greece as a country only recently has been receiving the amounts of people fleeing war and migrating to Greece.
Of course, Greece was populated by refugees, Indo-Europeans, in 1,000 years B.C., I guess it was, or whenever they came in and took over from the Mycenaeans. So, But in a different way, Albanians are a lot closer to Greeks because they are neighbors than the people who are coming now from the Middle East. Did you speak to relatives in Greece about their attitudes about this influx of 4,000 and 5,000 people a day?
Yeah, I spoke to relatives, I spoke to people on the island as well. you know, Greece has been going through a terrible financial crisis since 2010. And unfortunately, it lacks every infrastructure and every capacity to provide even for its own citizens at this point. So it lacks every capacity to provide for so many people who are in urgent need in many different levels, from, you know, from first aid to schools even. So for an island as small as Lesbos, it has been a struggle, and it's been an enormous pressure to the local population. However, just speaking about Lesbos, I spent 3 weeks there, and I spoke to a lot of people, and I witnessed what was happening on the island every day. I really I saw people going way out of their way to give everything that they had to help these children and to help these people. It's impossible, and it was impossible, and everyone felt completely hopeless and helpless because the influx was so big and disproportionate to the population, really. Residents were helping, but then more people were coming, and more people were coming, and it felt endless.
And you've said, I'm quoting you, this film shows that crucial moment between life and death, where regardless of political beliefs, fears, or preparation, some people will go beyond themselves to save a stranger, and it raises questions about our collective responsibility.
Exactly. That's exactly how it felt to me, because when I arrived on the island, the reality that I witnessed was completely different from everything that I was reading and watching. Maybe I'll put it differently. Reading and watching so much, and the refugee with the refugee crisis being in the cover of every newspaper and magazine in the States at that point, going there, I really expected that there would be a lot of help on the island. I remember when I arrived there the first day, I went to that point where that spot of the island where most of the of these inflatable boats full of refugees would come out. And I remember I was looking up in the sky, and I was looking towards the sea, and I was thinking, where is everyone? Where are the helicopters? Where is the police? Where are the countries of the world? Where is everyone? You know, everyone knew that this was going on. It was all over the news, and there was no help at all at this point. It was just the a handful of people from the Greek Coast Guard, a handful of volunteers from all over the world and just the residents of the island. And the emergency was so vast, it really required enormous response, and nobody was there. And in this sense, I felt that we do, as citizens have of the world, have a responsibility to know, to be aware of what is happening. And our responsibility, I guess, varies from level to level. Sometimes it's to go there and help in a situation, but being in the other side of the world, I guess, it has to deal more with our political decisions.
I'm speaking with Daphne Matsuraki, who's produced, directed, and edited an award-winning short called 4.1 Miles, which premieres on PBS's POV tonight at 9 p.m. The captain of the boat that you were on, Kyriakos Papadopoulos, talks about the impact that these rescue missions have had on him. He says it's a nightmare, this agony. And he says that before the refugee crisis, the local Coast Guard spent their time conducting routine border patrols. Most didn't have any CPR training. Their vessels didn't have thermal cameras or any equipment necessary for tremendous emergencies. And now, according to your film, they're pulling on hundreds and hundreds of people every time that they go out, sometimes jamming them onto these small boats.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. Captain Papadopoulos is a 42-year-old man, and
we can't help but admire him as we watch the film.
Yeah, I decided that he would be the main character of the film, exactly because of this reason. He's a simple man, and before the refugee crisis, his job was, in a way, one of the easiest jobs. It was just to conduct routine border patrols on the peaceful waters of the Greek island of Lesbos, where there is no real national threat. So they would go around the island and then, get on with their lives. A very peaceful life, simple life on a small island, similar to, let's say, a small town in USA. Suddenly, he's caught in the middle of this humanitarian emergency without having any training to do CPR. As you see on the film, the Coast Guard boat is extremely small. They don't have any equipment. They're pulling people up with their own hands and ropes. They don't know how to deal with this at all, and oftentimes it is too dangerous for the crew itself to get out in the bad weather because their boats are so small. Oftentimes when I was there, they received orders from the station not to go out because it was too risky for the crew. Despite that, Papadopoulos always took the decision and took the risk to go out, to get out, because he felt this enormous, enormous responsibility that he was suddenly called to take upon him. He felt that he had no other choice but to respond the way that he did. And of course, every time he went out, he did everything he could not to leave one person in the water. He had losses, however. He had losses, and these losses have haunted him.
People die, and there actually are a lot of orphans, and we'll get to that in just a moment. The documentary is mainly live footage of rescue missions. Was it ever difficult or dangerous to get that footage? Because the boat seems to be rocking all over the place. And I was wondering whether you were ever concerned that by filming, you might be getting in the way.
Yeah, so I was filming with my camera, and my colleague, James Pace Cornsilk, was doing the sound on the film. So it was just a very small film crew as to being on the boat. Yes, it was dangerous. It was something with I'd never experienced before, and I've never been in a situation like that before. However, at that moment, being in the middle of such emergency, our danger in a way felt so small in comparison to what these people were going through, really. In a way, we were inside the boat. I felt comfortable and confident enough that and trusted the captain that we would be okay, even though it was very scary. The waves were massive. They were splashing on the boat, almost covering the boat oftentimes. And I just could not compare, however, what I was going through to what these people being in the water, in the middle of the sea for hours and hours in the middle of these waves were going through. Oftentimes these people had not even seen the sea before, did not know how to swim, and certainly did not know how to drive a boat. And I'm saying that because these people were smuggled from Syria to Turkey, and then in Turkey they were just put on an inflatable boat that is meant to, really poorly made, is meant to fit 5, 6, 7 people. If you see, as you see in the film, there's 70, 80 people oftentimes on these boats, and the smugglers would tell these people, Greece is straight ahead, just drive. They had no idea how to drive a boat.
Are the smugglers Syrians or Turks?
Turks.
And so would these be people who would have smuggled other things before this refugee crisis?
This I do not know, but I know that at the time, I know from the Greek Coast Guard, but at the time there was a big smuggling network that was operating on the coast of Turkey, that the Turkish authorities were fully aware of it and were letting it happen, and even the Greek coast guards knew exactly what was going on, but there was no capacity to actually deal with the smuggling. They had to deal with people being rescued.
The locals talk on your film about how the local children's hospital is full of refugee children who've lost their parents. Is there any help that can be given to these children? Has the local community assumed responsibility for them?
The local community, there is only just one hospital on the island of Lesbos, and it's tiny, and at that point, in the winter of 2015, early 2016, the hospital was overwhelmed and completely over capacity with orphan children. Right now in Greece, there are about 2,200. If I'm not mistaken, I hope you can fact check me on this, orphan children that have arrived and have lost their parents in a shipwreck, or the parents could not really afford to flee themselves, and they send their children instead, because the tariff, really the cost, the fee to be smuggled is $2,000 per person. So not every family can afford that. Many parents chose to send their children alone.
Not realizing how dangerous it was.
Or thinking that there was no other choice, that they would die one way or the other, and there was just one hope to make it. And I asked a lot of people, why are you doing this? Can you not see how windy it is, how big the waves are? Can you not see that they're packing you in these boats? And they said to me, first of all, until the point that they were actually told get on the boat, they had no idea where they were going and how they were going to make the journey. And they had to pay way before that. And also that they had no other option. They had no choice. They were either being bombed or they had to flee. And they had no option to stay in Turkey or to go into a different refugee camp. This is not something that people decide themselves. Most times they just get smuggled. And this comes back to our collective responsibility in the sense that there is no safe way for people fleeing war to actually safely escape war.
So what's happening to those children? We talked earlier about how Greece has been going through a serious economic crisis. Are those kids going to be adopted in Greece? Are they going to be shipped to other countries? Because you also point out that all of Greece's neighbors to the north have closed their borders.
Yeah. Since spring 2016, countries north of Greece closed their borders to the waves of refugees. So now it's a very filtered procedure. And according to the Dublin Treaty of the European Union, Greece, as the first entry point, has the responsibility to keep these people. So Greece is completely overwhelmed, not just on the islands, but in Athens and in other parts of the mainland, with refugee camps that are very, very basic, the least I can say. Even though I know that everyone is doing the best they can, Greece has received minor funds from the European Union, in comparison to the level of this catastrophe. So these children are in hospitals and in the hands of a couple of NGOs that I know are dealing with them, that collaborate with the Greek state. However, I also know that there's been a lot of interest from Greek people and people abroad how can somebody adopt a child. The process is very hard, and like it is in the U.S., Greece is very strict about adoptions, and it's not something easy. So in my understanding, the Greek state and with the help of some NGOs are trying to deal with the thousands of orphan children.
The world was horrified by the death of a three-year-old named Aylin Kurdi in 2015. But at one point in the film, during a rescue mission, the crew brings in unconscious children, and a crew member yells, "The world needs to know what's happening here. We can't be going through this alone." Do the Greeks feel that they've been abandoned in this situation?
Yeah, completely. This is a feeling that I have gathered all these years in being Greek and talking to people, and this is the feeling that the captain has, especially when countries north of Greece close their borders, or the United States is not really accepting any refugees. It feels that the weight of this crisis is just thrown onto the shoulders of a handful of people, and it's a devastating feeling, and it's a devastating feeling because they cannot turn their back to it, because when death comes on your doorstep in such a way, I think if you're human, you're not going to turn your back to it. When you're far away from it and you just talk about it in a political context, in a political conversation, then it's much easier to be okay with decisions such as we're going to turn our back to it and we're not going to respond to this enormous crisis. So yeah, Greeks do feel abandoned, and the Coast Guard feels that he's just the Coast Guard captain. He feels that he's just one man that is dealing with the biggest humanitarian crisis since World War II.
Now, you pretty much did everything here other than the sound. You were your own camera person, you directed it, you edited it, you put it all together. Is that the way you plan to do future films?
Well, no. That was part of making a thesis film, in order to be a good filmmaker, I think a good documentary filmmaker, you need to have a very good knowledge and understanding and experience into doing everything. I am planning to be shooting my own films. I really love being behind the camera, because it really is a way for me to express how I view things, I'm directing my own films, and oftentimes I'll have to produce part of it, and even though I love editing, I think it's really important to have a different set of eyes on the film.
But you were nominated for an Oscar, you won a Peabody. I'm assuming that people have paid attention. Are you being made offers?
Yes, I am. Things are going well, and I'm very appreciative of the fact that so many people got to watch the film, and that it seems that they'd like to see more of my work. So yes, I am. I'm almost about to go film a new film, which is very different in a lot of ways, but has also a lot of similarities. It's a very different film that deals with our own identity, how we deal with change, how we deal with historic inequalities in a very changing world where resources are very scarce, and when we kind of have to give something from ourselves. So it really has to do again with our responsibility to the world.
Daphne Matsuraki's film 4.1 Miles won the International Documentary Association David L. Wolper Student Documentary Award, the Documentary Gold Medal in the 2016 Student Academy Awards, 2016 Peabody Award. It was also nominated this year for an Academy Award for Best Documentary Short Subject. You can see it tonight on PBS stations. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you so much for having me.